This is episode 473 of the Locked On Rangers podcast. I'm joined again by Grant Schiller to talk all things about this offseason, who the Rangers are going to be, you know, chasing to get one of these big three free agent shortstops. Also, we talk a little bit about why some of the Rangers prospects haven't quite worked out as well as they wanted them to, and why we're surprised at the ones that did. Let's get started.
You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
He's probably the most disappointing to me personally out of that group, and there were quite a few disappointments there. But he's the one that surprised me the most, because he was such an advanced hitter in Double A. His approach was so good. His plate discipline was so good. He really saw the ball well, and that kind of went away. And it seemed like there were some makeup issues that weren't there as a minor leaguer, or like at least they weren't obvious. And it just sucked. You know,
yeah, him having makeup issues is, might be like one of the most confusing things. Like,
yeah,
like every report about him was like, you know, his dad was like a Navy admiral, like he's a good kid, like hard worker, loved baseball, like did everything right. And then just out of nowhere, just like, all right, yeah, this guy isn't really taking the steps to make himself a better major league player. He's just completely plateaued. Like, had a pretty decent rookie campaign for a rookie, like especially at his age, was like, oh, that's really solid, I can't wait to see what he becomes. And he was literally just that, but then got worse. Like, yeah. it makes absolutely no sense. The fact that like Lewis Brinson and Jorge Alfaro, as much as I love them and am happy for their success, them having longer and more productive major league careers than Omar Mazara is just absolutely mysterious as hell.
Yeah. And, well, that's the value of playing at an up-the-middle position. If you're a corner guy, you got to really hit. And Nomar was supposed to really hit, and he didn't. But I wonder if this year was his last chance. Because he got brought on, I guess last year was when he went to Chicago, right? Didn't do well. Then the Tigers bring him in as a bad team, give him a chance.
He might
do well.
This might have been his second year in Detroit. Let me look this up real quick. Because I feel like he's been there for no, you're right. Yeah. You're right. 2020 was Chicago. And then this year was Detroit. Had a little bit worse OPS last year, a 589 OPS as opposed to a 597 this year. His last year in Texas had a 786 OPS, which I think I'm pretty darn sure would have led the Rangers at the end of the season. Yeah, 20 home runs, 19 home runs, one home run in 42 games in 2020, three home runs in 50 games this year.
How do you like his 2017 season? I'm looking at it now. He had put up a 20 home run, 100 RBI season, and had negative WAR. That's impressive. That's some really bad defense right there.
Gosh, he had like two plays in his career that were like really amazing defensively. Like, why don't you just like I can't remember where, I think it was Seattle. He had this throw like from the corner of right field. He like goes and puts it into the game and like threw it on an absolute laser. Like, he had a good arm.
He did, but
when he took awful routes. Like,
yeah, when he was in Frisco, I nicknamed him Triples Alley. If it went in the corner, it was a triple every time. Jeez.
Oh, man. That man, I just don't understand what happened. But, gosh, the Yankees being, like, the only contending team in play, because, obviously, Cleveland is never going to ever spend money on anything. Yep.
And, you think they'll trade Jose Ramirez this offseason?
They probably should. Just trade everybody. Like, just trade Bieber. Trade everybody. Like, why even have a major league team? Like, honestly, Cleveland, with how frequently they trade away their stars as soon as they get decent, like, it makes me insane. them almost more so than like any, like they're like on the same level as like Tampa Bay and Oakland, except they don't have the success. They don't have nearly the same level of success, but they're operating with the same budget. Like they do pretty well. If they were like, I don't know, spent like a mid-market team, like just a mid-market team, because like Cleveland's a decent city. Like they have a pretty solid fan base. They do a really good job of like taking these pitchers in like the fifth round. Like Shane Bieber, I think, was a fifth round pick. It wasn't a first round, wasn't a second round. Somewhere between third and fifth, but I'm pretty sure it's fifth. And he's like one of the best pitchers in baseball. I mean, I think he might have had a bad year this year and had some injuries, but like he's really stinking good. And they have all these other guys that just randomly end up being like just ridiculously good. And they finished like 500 this year and they just did not give a crap. Like, I mean, their offense was Jose Ramirez and like Franmil Reyes.
And
like that was it. Everybody had an OPS like under 750. Literally everybody else on their entire team. Even their right fielder, Josh Naylor. Like their right fielder played in 69 games, had 7 home runs as a right fielder. Like, gosh, this team makes me so angry. And Cal Quantrill had an amazing season as well. Wait, hold on. This doesn't make any sense. Cal, I guess they used a lot of openers, which I didn't realize because I don't pay attention to them, because they don't actually pay attention to their own team because they don't actually care about winning. But Cal Quantrill pitched in 40 games and 22 starts. And then in finish two, he was their innings leader with like just one out shy of 150. What is this team? Oh, gosh. Yeah, so they're not going to be in it. Also, just like give back Emmanuel Clase if you're not going to actually try. Please. Like the Rangers are like, I'll give them credit. Like they are at least building towards something. Like they've shown propensity, like more so than Cleveland. Yeah. Like at least the Rangers, we have seen like a team actually go for it. We've seen a Ranger team in the past like decade actually like go for it.
Yeah.
Like historically. But Cleveland, when was the last time they actually like spent money on like any players? They've always been this like, as soon as somebody gets good, we're going to deal them off no matter how decent we are. If I was a Cleveland baseball fan, I'd be so pissed. I mean, they kind of went for it in 2016 and, you know, were very close to winning that World Series. They didn't.
Who was their last major signing? Would it be like Carlos Santana?
That's it. That's like their only.
Or did he come up with him? He came up with him, didn't he? Yeah, he did. So I don't. Well, I guess they signed him back.
They did sign him back.
Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, yeah. This episode is brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I'll be hosting rooms for Locked On Rangers once a week. Yes, you can finally join in on the conversation you listen to here every day. Green Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about the league. You'll have the chance to chat with me, and you might even have a chance to be featured on the Locked On Rangers podcast through our Green Room conversations. Be sure to join me this week on Thursday night. I'll be hosting a room then to talk about playoff stuff and all kinds of other Rangers stuff. So go download the free Green Room app, available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter account, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. Follow me at Bryce Patrick to be notified when my room goes live. I know you won't want to miss it. I can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts on the Rangers. See you there. Green Room, changing the way we talk about sports. So going back to the shortstop, so we're thinking, what, New York? But they might play poor. Obviously not Toronto, not Boston. Tampa Bay, never. Chicago, never. Cleveland, never. So New York Yankees, Detroit, and Miami.
And yeah, those seem to be the biggest candidates, which is kind of crazy.
That's absolutely wild.
Maybe Milwaukee goes big.
I mean, they just traded for a guy.
I like Adamas, but let's say who's their third baseman right now? Let's say you get Corey Seager to come over there.
Urias had a pretty solid.
Is he playing third now?
He's playing third. He played 150 games for him this year. 789 OPS. At second, they had Colton Wong with a 783 OPS.
Oh, that's right.
Urias
is still only 24, actually.
Who is? Yeah. Urias is only 24. Okay. In the outfield, Avisail Garcia did pretty solid. It's just they need more production from their first baseman. Daniel Vogelbach played 93 games, had a 730 OPS, and they obviously need more from that. But I don't know, they could sign somebody. They might surprise people. I mean, if the Braves cheap out, which I hope they don't, because Freddie Freeman needs to stay in Atlanta. But that could be something that Braves on the radar. But that, like, that's wild. Like, I always thought, I'm like, okay, like, surely there's somebody out there. But like, when you break it down, there's really not that much competition for the Rangers for these big shortstops.
Now, the other thing to keep in mind is there'll be 15 National League teams that have an extra lineup spot next year. So even if shortstop isn't necessarily available, you can switch guys in and out and fill a DH spot with one of these guys, or whoever they're kicking out of the position. So that might play a factor in it too.
That could. Maybe San Diego might be spending big because they need something. I mean, they really just need like to sign like 30 starting pitchers. Like, that's really what they need.
Not named J.K. Arrieta.
Jeez, that was... I still can't believe that the Padres got to a point in their season this year. But I thought, yes, 2021 J.K. Arrieta will save us. Surely, this is the answer. The guy that was too bad for the Cubs, who finished with 91 losses, surely that guy will fix our rotation.
Did he?
Narrator, it did not. But yeah, it's just there's so few teams that are actually like going for it. The Mets... like we thought they were going to spend a bunch of money, but they're proving to be cheapos. Maybe Philadelphia, maybe they go nuts. I don't know. But still, when you actually break it down, it's kind of wild to me that there are so few teams. And we like, yeah. I kind of made fun of in my head that like they did this, you know, a finally like an in-depth tour for the media after the season this year. With Chris Young and John Daniels, like, hey, look at all these nice little things. Hey, look at these like amenities and whatever, these cool things for players. And I'm like, that's cool, but your team just finished with 100 losses. It's going to take a lot more than that. It's going to take actually ponying up, which, like, I still we'll have see. My doubts that they're Me actually going to do it. Like, even if they're like the only ones, the market is completely dead. Like,
I question the intelligence of being so open about their plans to spend. Because let's say it falls through. Let's say none of these three main shortstops want to sign with the Rangers, no matter what price. They're like, your team stinks. We don't want to sign. Or the market's just bigger than they expect. Like, this is going to create a lot of anger that didn't have to be there if they had just not said this all year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing. It's like, I mean, we both talked about it, and like... I feel like every other beat writer is like, oh, no, the 2023 window of contention, like, that's a viable. I'm like, it's not. No. It's not viable.
No.
So, like, even if you bring these guys in there, I mean, two out of the three, the two main guys in Corey Seager and Correa, well, I guess, I don't remember when Correa came up. But it wasn't that long that he was, like, just on these just completely dismal teams. Mm-hmm. And even, it's been a while since they've been a dismal team. It's been... I mean, 2015, they were like a good team. They didn't win the division that year. That Sports Illustrated changed their prediction, moved it up for 2 years. Like, no one forced them to do that. It's so funny. I think they said either like in like the 2012 like cover edition, the like Astros are going to win the 2017 World Series that they said. I think it was 17, and they moved it up to like 2 years, 2015, when the original 2017 was actually when they won it, which is absolutely hilarious. But like. And Corey Seager has been on nothing but Dodgers teams that do nothing but win. And, like, the one we want the least is going to be... I mean, Trevor Story has been on nothing but the Rockies, so he knows absolutely nothing about winning. And, you know, he was from Arlington. But still, I think his value, like, of those three is definitely least because he's the oldest and, you know, the most...
The oldest and the worst.
Yeah.
Not that he's not great, but...
Yeah, he's a really good player, but, like, of these three, if you're spending... I don't know, $30 million a year, which I don't know that Trevor Story gets $30 million a year. He might, but like with the market the way it is, I don't know. That's just weird. I don't know. This whole offseason gives me like the heebie-jeebies. Like I just...
And that's before the CBA happens.
That's before the... We even know there's going to be a season next year. Like, that's the other crazy thing. I don't think we talked about it at all. It's like, what if the season like just doesn't happen next year? Like, it's entirely possible. I've just been not talking about it because I'm like, please just, I can't. I did podcast through a year where I thought there'd be no baseball. I don't want to do it again. Like, I really don't want to do that again. It was awful. At least this time I could, like, go outside, theoretically. I mean,
yeah,
more so than I could the last time. There'll be more sports on, like, besides KBO. I get really back into the KBO, screw up my sleep cycle again. Like, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
This episode is brought to you by Built Bar. You know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors. There's something for literally everyone, as long as you like chocolate and good tasting bars. You know, there's cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, all kinds of good stuff. They also got cookies and cream, German chocolate, orange, strawberry. Like, it's just one of everything you could possibly want. They're just so good. They're so healthy as well. They've got 17, 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. There's amazing flavors, all tasty. All of them are healthy as well. So go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Today's episode is also brought to you by BetOnline. We're back and better than ever. A new web interface to start the basketball season, and even more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one source for all basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated website on mobile and desktop. Sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts.
But, like, I don't want to do that. Can we just, like, do that? And, oh, is that Bellinger? Bellinger's another guy that's really interesting. Like, I looked at his baseball reference page. He's been up, I think this is his fourth or fifth year in the majors, and it says his first time that he's available to be a free agent is 2024, which the math seemed off for me. That's the season when he's able. He's a guy who won an MVP, and, like, we thought he fell off last year, but I look back at his numbers, he had like a 789 OPS, and this year he had like a 540 OPS. Like,
yeah, he's awful this year.
What do you think happened? He's just been like playing through injury, or like is he figured out, or like, because like I don't know if he's a center fielder, I don't know if he's like a first baseman. Like, I don't know anything about Cody Bellinger. Like, he might be the guy who's won the MVP, like, at such a young age. Like, I don't think anyone's like won an MVP that young and then been such an enigma, yeah, like so quickly after.
Yeah.
Like, he was playing center field every day, it felt like, or at least could. I think he was playing first base then. Then he started playing center field, and then it's like,
he did it well.
And it's like, what? Why are you playing this guy at first base if he could play center field the whole time? Like, do you have any read on what the hell happened with him? Or
no, I don't know. I'll be honest with you, no clue.
But even Dodgers beat writers, like Dodgers scouts, are like, I don't know. I don't know. And he's hit big home runs in the postseason. I don't know what his overall number, but he had some timely ones. Uh-huh. But like, it's a guy I like maybe keep an eye on. He keeps falling off. The Rangers can do like a Lance Lynn with a hitter thing. I just would like them to be able. Like, I like that they've learned. It seems like they've learned a little bit, at least, how to develop pitchers. And seems like they haven't been very good at developing hitters at all. I would like them to learn that as well. Or just like how to not screw them up. I think they've done how to not screw them up with Josh Young. I don't know that there's, I don't like want to like discredit them of like him, like kind of finding this power stroke that I always thought was going to be there, but like just not messing with him too much and letting him do what's made him successful and him just like kind of growing, you know, into being an adult man as opposed to a college kid, I think is, help with that power. Do you think that's the case, or do you think they like figured something out and they're gonna, you know, start producing more guys?
Well, some of it's just that he got bigger, but some of it's that they helped with his approach and got him to go to the poolside more. I don't know whether that carries over to other guys or not, but we'll see. Their development team is better than it was in the past. The jury's still out on whether that's good enough or not. We'll see.
Yeah, it's definitely improvement, and I will take improvement over regression every day of the week. And I do give them credit. They did a good job of getting top prospects, and it's just wild to me the amount of them that have not hit, like we talked about earlier. And the fact that Joey Gallo was the one that hit, like, I love that that's the case, and he's hit to like the 90th percentile of himself. Like, that makes me so happy that it was him. But like the other guys around him, like the Nomar Mazars that have fallen off, the Chichi Gonzalez's that have fallen, the other like guys that seem
Nick Williams, sure Jake fire. Thompson.
Mm-hmm. Nick Williams, I could have seen that a while ago. A guy who learned how to walk by his dad telling him, you just don't have to swing at everything. Like, I mean, some guys just see ball, hit ball, and like his ability to barrel things is as good as I've seen of anybody. You got to be able to think like just a little bit. Just a little bit. And I don't know that he did that a whole lot very well, but
he did make a big leap. He made a whole lot. But
he didn't what?
Teammate a whole lot.
Yeah.
But his bat moved real quick.
His bat did move real quick. And gosh, I'm sure his younger brothers, if they have anything close to the bat speed that he has, and seeing them like run around the bases as like kids in double A, maybe they'll figure it out. Maybe they'll be the Williamses that make
that were ordained
and stay there. Who knows? But anyway, this turned into a much longer podcast than I thought. I'm definitely splitting this into two. But been a lot of fun. Enjoyed talking with you. I almost forgot. I almost forgot our wonderful tradition of random Texas Rangers. So
yeah, so I didn't have anybody planned. I think I'm just going to go with I'm going to ride the Drew Hutchinson train because I can't believe he was in the big leagues this year. His most recent time was his 5 starts with the Rangers in 2018, in which he walked more than he struck out and gave over 2 home runs per 9 on his right way to an 8.86 ERA. But you know what? He went 1-1 in that time. So he was exactly an average pitcher. That's how that works.
That's solid. For my poll, I'm going with a 2015 Ranger, Roman Mendez.
Roman Mendez.
In one game. I believe pitched it. Nope. Was that okay? So yeah, he did pitch in. I was like, he pitched in more than that for his Rangers career. But 2015. Okay. Oh no, he hit in one game. That's what I was looking at. Okay. Yeah. No, he pitched in 2 years with the Rangers. 33 innings with a 2.18 ERA in 2014. Then had a 5.40 ERA in 12 games in 2015, and later played for Boston. And that was it. That was his whole major league career. Played in 3 more games, and since 24 has not made the majors since, which is kind of wild to me.
While we're on guys who left the Rangers and went to Boston, I'm going to throw a second one out. Phillips Valdez, very recent, is currently, well, I guess he's not on the playoff roster, but threw big league innings for Boston this year, and quite a few of them, 40 of them actually.
Wow, that's solid. I saw people, speaking of former Rangers in Boston, I saw some Boston fans freaking out about Martin Perez pitching when they were up 8 with like 2 innings left. And I was like, okay, come on. Like, be nice. Be nice. Like,
we saw a lot of Martin Perez. I don't blame him.
No, and even more crazy, I saw Astros fans complaining because there was like this little like very like kind of straight line of like sweat that like looked like it might be the spider tech stuff. And they were complaining, and I was like, Astros fans, are you really trying to get like, on the other hand, like, are Astros fans really trying to get Martin Perez thrown out of there? Like,
they should be asking for the punishment to be more Martin Perez.
I saw Boston fans saying the exact same thing. They're like, oh no, that's spider tech on his neck. Oh, MLB, you got to get him out of there. And I'm like, on the one hand, I get it, but also like, be nice. You didn't have to go there, but let's be nice. In my Stephen A. Smith voice. The nice
man. Is that what that was?
That was, you know, there's this gif of him being like, you know, let's be nice. You know, you don't have to say it. I mean, we're all thinking it. You don't have to say it. It was the first big leaguer I ever met, ever interviewed. And he was very kind to me when I was very, very nervous. Him and Robinson Chirinos at this thing in 2014. Literally the first year they started writing about Rangers baseball. Just, I had no idea this would be a thing, but I showed up at a charity event, and there both of those guys were. and I did not expect them to be there. And I was just like told like right beforehand, I was like, oh yeah, you're gonna have to prepare some questions for, you know, Martin Perez and Robinson Chirinos. I'm like, what? So that was fun. And so I have a special place in my heart for him. Okay. And I'm glad that he is, you know, having a long big league career. Good guy. Some definite struggles as a pitcher. But that's okay. That's what random Rangers are for. And, you know, 5 years down the line, he might be able to be a random Ranger. He's too relevant right now to be a random Ranger. To these guys that are like, they kind of pop up. I'm like, oh, that's not quite random enough. Like, obviously, Nomar Mazara, not random enough. Lewis Brinson, not random enough. But the random guys that played for like two seasons, 30 games or whatever, those are, that's a sweet spot. Like, I feel dirty picking ones from like years that I did pay attention to. So that's why I like the 2014, like onward. Literally 2014.
Literally pick, like, 2014, right.
Pick like anybody who's not in the like top five in war on that team, and they pretty much qualify as a
pretty much
Ranger.
Yes.
It's like
from the very start of the season.
Yeah. It's like you don't
Tanner Sheffers was literally your opening day starter.
Oh my god, that was really a thing. But you Darvish was still on that roster.
He was and hurt. They picked
to begin 2014? I thought that happened at the end of 2014.
I think he had a minor injury at the start that pushed him back a couple weeks.
Okay. Yeah, because I know the Tommy John happened towards the end of that year. But man, this might be my favorite new thing for this offseason. We might just have like an entire random Rangers podcast. I don't know. We'll see how that goes. But Grant, thank you for joining me. Hopefully you'll get to enjoy some more playoff baseball. Hopefully you'll get to watch future Ranger Corey Seager. I don't know. Hopefully not future Ranger, and hopefully not playing for that many more games Carlos Correa. Hopefully future Yankee. But always good to chat with you. Thank you for hopping on. And until next time, don't forget to enjoy baseball.